What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers.
Oh, wake them up, get them up, get them out. The early bird gets the worm on a Wednesday. Appreciate you being up early with us. And you'll be lucky you did, and you are up early. We have a lot to do. A lot of great conversations. We'll be following throughout the morning potential breaking news from the Austin City Council chambers where the fate of Major League Soccer and its pending move to Austin will be decided. Also, plenty of news all over college football, certainly right here on the 40 acres, as the Longhorns are now 18 days to their opener with Maryland. There is news on both fronts. The Longhorn front from the 40 acres, with a couple of guys announcing that they are transferring out of the program, and major news from the University of Maryland, the Longhorns' first opponent, which we will get to coming up. And there's news all over college football, plus another hit into our Horn topped 20 countdown as we hit the Big Ten for the first time in our countdown to number one. Plenty of baseball storylines, including the Astros suddenly in a full-fledged race for the American League West, and great storylines all over Major League Baseball on what's going to be a 99-degree day in Austin, Texas. Oh, yeah, we got some NFL as well, Buck.
Some
NFL to
99.
Get to. 99 and sunny. That wet stuff that we saw over the weekend has moved on, and it's now time for the dog days of August. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Good. I'm very, 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 very good. I was all excited to go to my first yoga class last night.
Nice.
And I thought I was going, when the class said it's called slow flow, I thought that meant, oh, this is the easy one. No, it's the hardest one on there. They've named it incorrectly. It's not slow flow. It's the hardest part of the yoga class. They had three people in there.
False advertising.
Yeah, and I said, I can't hang with this. Let's wait till Friday. So I'll get my yoga pants, get ready, go to Lululemon, get my new yoga pants, and get ready for Friday. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas. Of course, all those that fight for us each and every day, thank you so very, very much. And for all you veterans out there, thank you also. We're not far away, E, for tips for kids in the car line in about a week and a half or so. We'll wait till everybody gets to school. There are those that are already started school all over the place, but there are still some that, man, they do it the right way. I guess it's after Labor Day or whatever it is.
No. Well,
that's why
it's
a week before Labor Day. How it works?
Well, some youngsters are already back in school.
Yes.
Especially the private schools. Some will start, a good number will start back on Monday, the 20th.
Some start today. It's really weird.
Yeah, some starting today. Mine in out in Hayes won't start till a week from Monday, so the 27th. But it really depends on
I think that's when we're going to start. We're probably going to start at 27.
That's when mine go back.
Yeah.
I've got a
junior and that'll be the last
senior,
group. That'll probably be the last group, right?
Yeah, well, I think that's the latest because, again, some are already back. A high majority go back on Monday, which is the 20th. And then another round, including mine, go back on the 27th.
Was there a time when they went back after, like, Labor Day? Didn't we have a Labor Day weekend and then you went to school?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's always been different. But, yeah, Labor Day, Memorial Day is kind of the benchmarks. But
I think it was the snow days that got them this year. Maybe that's what it
was.
Well,
it's just each district has its own schedule, and you got to have so many days, and some go on an hour count. It's all politics, man, bureaucracy. You know what I'm saying? But each school makes its own. And then, of course, you've got the private schools who kind of run their own shop. And
they're gone early. They're in there already.
That's right. So back to school. We've got a lot to do. It is a very, very crowded morning. So saddle up and let's have some fun today at 447-3776. Also on the specs text line 512-337-3776. It's a busy one. Let's start with the headlines. Get you caught up on the news we'll be following this morning and the news of the day. Ticket City update desk time, and start with Local news. High drama and extremely tight vote expected this morning when the Austin City Council convenes to debate and ultimately decide the immediate future of Major League Soccer coming to Austin in advance of today's special meeting in which Mayor Steve Adler expects an up-and-down vote on the Precourt Sports Ventures proposal to build a $200 million soccer stadium on city-owned land in North Austin. News broke that City Council member Leslie Poole was returning from a visit to Columbus to mingle with the fan base in the Save the Crew movement seeking to keep the team there. Mayor has called the plan a great deal for Austin. Meanwhile, Councilwoman Poole and others disagree. Councilwoman Poole's district includes the McCalla Place site where the stadium would be built. She has led the opposition to the deal. Wednesday's vote of 11 council members expected to be very, very tight, possibly 6-5 one way or the other, according to the Austin American-Statesman. College football, plenty of news from the 40 Acres, where a pair of Longhorn defensive backs announced yesterday they are transferring out of the program. Just 18 days to the season opener at Maryland. It's a very crowded defensive backfield at this point, especially with that highly touted recruiting class. Senior John Bonney and junior Eric Cuffey have elected to move on. Both say they're leaving the program on very good terms, but want the chance to find more playing time. Cuffey expected to head to the junior college route, while Bonnie, as a senior graduate, is going to head to Lubbock and play for Texas Tech and Cliff Kingsbury this coming season. Tom Herman did not try to block that at all. He will go play for the Red Raiders for his senior season. Speaking of Maryland and that opener in 18 days, their athletic director Damon Evans announced yesterday that they have parted ways with strength and conditioning coach Rick Court following the death of 19-year-old offensive lineman Jordan McNair.
Make no mistake, we will not tolerate any behavior from any employee within Maryland Athletics that is detrimental to the mental or physical well-being of our student athletes. There is nothing more important than our student athletes' safety.
Maryland head football coach DJ Durkin, meanwhile, remains on administrative leave, and his future is still up in the air. The school continues to investigate the allegations of player mistreatment and abuse and a possible toxic and unsafe culture within that football program. Again, 18 days, Texas and Maryland. Baseball make it 9 straight home losses for the Houston Astros, who tied a season high with their 5th straight loss last night. Colorado roughed up Justin Verlander and the Astros 5-1 at Minute Maid Park. Verlander allowed just 2 of the 5 runs, but the Houston offense, again missing in action, managed just 3 hits on the night. And don't look now, but the Astros lead the American League West is down to a single game as the red-hot Oakland A's top Seattle last night for the second straight night, 3-2. A's have won 4 straight and have gone 17-6 since the All-Star break. They've chased down the slumping Astros, just a game back now. In Arlington, meanwhile, the former Texas State Bobcat Paul Goldschmidt belted his 27th home run of the year to lead the first-place Arizona Diamondbacks to a 6-4 win over the Rangers. And Round Rock lost in Nashville 8-4. And that's the news.
This segment brought to you by Caliber Collision. No matter how it happened, Caliber Collision makes it like it never did. Rate among the highest in customer satisfaction, restoring the rhythm of your life. Caliber Collision.
So did you actually wear yoga pants?
No. I just wear regular.
Come on. Sure,
I do not wear.
Like the Lululemons?
I got my Lululemon top, but I do not have Lululemon bottoms. I don't wear shorts with long things underneath them. I just wear regular dude shorts, like workout shorts, you know, like. The baggy shorts, yes, that's what I go with.
But you know, yoga's good for you.
But I wear my MeUndies underneath that.
Cool, you got to wear underwear.
Well, my tight, keep my stuff in there.
Got to keep your stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, your guy Ricky Williams finally convinced you at your age to go get into the yoga phase.
Yeah, but I'm going
phase fad phase.
Yeah, I'm going into the low class, the slow class, the methodical. Let's do it the right way and stay in there for a long, long time because. You start to lose, you know, all that movement. And I think that happens to you once you get into your 60s, not your 50s. But you really can feel the difference when you get out of bed in the morning. And you can't continue to take Tylenol and stuff like that because that'll wear out whatever it is, your liver or your kidneys or whatever. You have to find other ways. And even though it may kind of look weird, yoga is the thing that I should have been doing probably 10 years ago.
Yeah, core strength, flexibility, yeah. All those things. That's right. Well, good for you, my friend.
So I'm going. I'm going to, you know, and it's got a place right there in that new, right by me in Belterra there. And it's fantastic. They give you what you get to do is you can go as many times as you want in 2 weeks for only $25.
Good for you.
So I'm going to go as many times as I need to go.
Is your wife going with you?
No. She's just at her house. She's living at, you know, she doesn't live with me, so. Our schedules are different.
I love this, man.
But
we're 2 months into this marriage. You still don't live together. It's
I
great.
Saw her Saturday night. Tomorrow is, what's tomorrow, Thursday?
Uh-huh.
We're going to get together tomorrow.
You haven't seen her since Saturday?
Yeah. We went to movies.
I love this marriage. This is going to last.
You think so?
Yeah. Don't live together, see each other sporadically throughout the week, have sleepovers.
And we're making plans on property and building a home shortly. But that'll take another year and a half, so this thing will continue to kind of go the way it's been going.
All right. Coming up bottom of the hour, we dive into the Horn Top 20 countdown. We'll have a look at our first Big Ten team. There'll be five more between now and the top, but very crowded. But the Big Ten takes center stage today, and it's a bit of a mess in the Big Ten. We'll dive into this Maryland story. We've got the soccer story from downtown Austin. What a mess this is going to be at the Austin City Council today. Who knows how this is going to fall? Longhorns, baseball, man. There's a lot of great storylines out there all over the sports landscape. We've got preseason NFL taking center stage, but
let me hit baseball real quick with the Astros. And I saw Seattle play last night, and you know, ever since I went to Idaho, I saw a lot of Seattle baseball because my brother-in-law likes baseball. That's what they watch there.
I like your brother-in-law then.
So they're Mariners fans, and when I watched the Mariners, I was like, boy, do they stink? They're terrible. King Felix. Well, I know they beat the Astros, and they're right in the thick of
things.
Everybody's
beating the Astros.
But I watched King Felix go in as a closer or a middle reliever.
No.
What was that?
Well, no. I mean, Seattle's playing Oakland right now in a big series for both teams. Oakland's taking the first two games in Seattle. In Oakland.
He didn't start last night,
James,
did he?
Well, you know, James Paxton, their starter, took a rocket right off his left arm, which he's a left-handed pitcher. So he had to leave the game early. It was very early in the game.
That's like the third inning?
Yeah, very early in the game. Might have been the second inning.
I thought it was the first.
Yeah, I thought he got hurt in the first
and left in the second.
He took a comeback or right at him, line drive off his pitching arm, and so he tried to keep going, but then they took him out, and King Felix has been taken out of the rotation for Seattle, and
so he pitched well enough then. If he lasted that long and only gave up that one run, or he pitched well then.
He pitched Sheobold, yeah, in a spot start where he didn't know in a spot situation. Well, and that makes sense. You're in the second inning. You go to a guy who's been starting for you all year, even though Felix has been ineffective. But Oakland still won the game, 3-2.
And no, dude, and he gave up that same weird pitch that I've seen go out of the park like the last couple times he's pitched. That one, I don't know if it's a sinker or whatever, but it hits the middle of the plate.
Yeah, it's a split finger that doesn't split.
Oh, and it doesn't dip.
And that's when Felix Hernandez was at his best, he was overpowering with a fastball, and then that split finger would fall off the table, and he was very virtual and hittable. But his velocity's down a little, and the splitter is inconsistent.
Okay, let me ask you, what does a guy like that who has had success in pitching for so many years, and then you hear about guys that, they change up, they do something different as they get older, because they can't go to that. He can't go to that. If that's his go-to pitch, he can't do that anymore. They sit and wait for it, because eventually it comes through that rotation.
Right. It's just, that'll be the question for Felix Hernandez. Can he convert from a power pitcher to more of a conventional, some guys overpower you with their stuff and velocity.
And he did for a lot of years.
But he's not the same pitcher he was. But the bigger story there is Oakland. Because they're not just a game back of the Astros. I mean, I don't know that Seattle's in the mix for the wild card in the American League, but the team to watch is Oakland. Obviously, Astro fans are biting their fingernails at this point because they're dealing. You remember last year the Astros dealt with an August swoon as well. There was a stretch in August last year where the Astros, remember when they didn't acquire Justin Verlander at the original trade deadline, they didn't make the move. And there was a lot of disagreement in the locker room, and I guess frustration that the Astros didn't make a big move because they had a bunch of injuries last year in late July and into August that were putting them behind the eight ball a little bit, and they didn't make a move. And people were mad at Jeff Luhnow, and obviously by the end of August, Luhnow had acquired Justin Verlander and really swung the balance of the American League. Well, same thing's happening this year. The Astros are dealing with pretty a rash amount of injuries. And they're hitting a swoon. But last year, they didn't have anybody contending with them. Last year, they were able to run away with the American League West, and it wasn't a big deal. This year, Oakland is a game back. I mean, I still think most Astros fans and most baseball fans, which I told you yesterday that the website fangraphs.com, the baseball analytics website, still has the Astros as the favorite to win the World Series as far as percentages go and all the numbers. And that's based on the fact that if they get to the playoffs and they're healthy, they're going to be a very hard team to beat because of their starting rotation, their bullpen, and their lineup.
They always seem to have somebody that could carry them for a while when somebody's hurt. It seems like guys are hurt at the same time.
Well, I guess the big picture point is if they make the playoffs, they're going to be hard to beat if they're healthy because they're really good in all phases and they've got the best starting pitching and they think they've solidified their bullpen. But now, unlike last year, even though, remember, they had an August stretch last year where the Astros lost eight out of nine games. And so this isn't foreign to them. But the problem is now you got to make the playoffs. You've got to win the division, and the Oakland A's are a game back.
Right.
And Oakland's not losing series right now. Oakland A's, Billy Beane and Bob Melvin and that team are getting better. Astros, there's not a lot of wiggle room at this point. I still think the Astros are the favorites to win that division. I still think they're going to get George Springer and Jose Altuve and Lance McCullers and Chris Devensky and Brian McCann and all these guys that are out for them back.
There's like nobody can carry them right now because they're all hurt.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about the names I just mentioned. I mean, if you're talking about the Astros, go back to last year, probably their four most consistent and best hitters.
Right.
You're talking about Springer, Correa, Altuve, Brian McCann. They lost him right before the All-Star break. That's been huge with a left-handed bat and what he brings to that lineup. And then you add to the fact that guys like Marwin Gonzalez and Josh Reddick just aren't having the seasons that they had a year ago. And you have a lineup that is not very good offensively right now. They're still pitching pretty darn well. But they're playing good teams, and they're not matching up. If they get healthy, I think they'll be okay. But it's much more tense this year for Astro fans. I think it's a better team overall than even a year ago if they can get everybody healthy. But the question is, that division is a totally different animal. I mean, Seattle's much better. Oakland is much, much better. Last year it was just Houston, and there was no one chasing them.
No.
And they had no competition whatsoever in that division. And they could put it on cruise control, and they could rest guys and put them on the DL longer than they really needed to be. This year, they're going to have to figure some things out because they wrap up their homestand with Colorado today. Houston has lost 9 straight home games. They haven't won a home game since mid-July. Their lead is 1, and they're headed out.
It's hard to believe they're losing that many at home.
Yeah. Well, think about this for the Astros fans out there. They're only 32-29 at home. They're just 3 games over .500 for the season. They're far and away the best road team in baseball. But their home, Minute Maid Park, has not been a good place for them. They're slumping at the wrong time. Oakland is surging at the right time. That is a huge storyline in baseball. Meanwhile, over in Boston, you realize the Boston Red Sox are now 51 games over .500. The Red Sox are 86-35. 86.
And still people are questioning what they will be like in the playoffs when they get their pitching. That's still the bugaboo.
Right, and that goes to the point on the Astros, that if they get into a short series or a 7-game series, people... Even the fan graph, the analytics would favor the Astros because of the depth of starting pitching, and that's when you get down to the winning 4 games.
But it's offensively, the Red Sox are ridiculous.
They're 51. Buck, they've only lost.
My Yankees aren't bad because they're still in the top 3 teams in wins,
and they're 10 back. No, that's how well Boston is playing in all phases. The Alex Cora hire has been genius. He's been great for them. Coming off of A.J. Hinch's bench, he's brought a lot of that analytics and a lot of stuff the Astros do. And he's brought a more friendly clubhouse for Boston and more of a player's manager. They've been outstanding. And I wouldn't forget about Cleveland either because I think Cleveland healthy is a really good team.
But they're in a weak division, and that weak division with their wins are just...
Well, look, the Indians just put Trevor Bauer on the DL with a stress fracture. He's their best pitcher. Well, he and Corey Kluber are their best pitchers. But they have the Astros' luxury of a year ago. They can rest Trevor Bauer because they're going to win that division. There's no one chasing them. So they can be careful with him. The Astros are in a dogfight now. So there's a little bit more pressure on the Astros now to get people back, get people on the field, and start winning some baseball games and winning some series. Because not only are they only a game up on Oakland, I believe they have 6 more head-to-head with Oakland. They've got 6 more head-to-head with Seattle. They've got to start playing the baseball.
When they get to play Seattle and they get healthy, they got to beat that group.
Do you think they need to make a move before the end of the
Houston?
Before the end of the month for maybe a bat?
Well, they just need to get healthy. I mean, yes. I mean, if they know better the health reports on these guys. I mean, they think George Springer was taking work in the outfield last night. He's close to being back. They think and when he's at the top of their order and going well, that's the engine to their offense. Altuve back in the 3-hole. Bregman, because right now with the way their lineup is, their people are pitching around Alex Bregman and remember when they were slumping.
Should they have gotten a bat E when they went and took the pitcher, the guy that's kind of questionable and everybody's wondering
Osuna?
About? Should they have gone for a bat at that time instead, maybe?
There wasn't a lot available.
There wasn't a lot. And that I still think the Astros are playing for the playoffs. And when you get to the playoffs, I'd rather have Roberto Osuna than a bat because that's a guy that can get you big outs in a playoff series.
We're not talking about major injuries. We're talking about day-to-day-to-day.
Well, Altuve one's been a knee tweak that they're kind of confused by.
True, that's been a long time now. When he slid into second base or whenever he did that, when he came up, or third base, when he came up, it seemed like, okay, he just kind of jogged that off, like, okay, he'll be okay in about 3 days. That's been a long time now.
Yeah. Well, again, I think I just remember this time last year in August, the same panic and questions about Jeff Luhnow and not acquiring the starter, and all that was in the air. We were talking about it.
But they had nobody chasing them.
Right. And they had the luxury of a cushion. But this may be good for Houston. I mean, that's the thing.
So they'll wake you up time.
I still think when they get fully healthy and get everybody back, which, yeah, there's no season-ending injury. The only one that is questionable is Brian McCann. And I guess you could put Lance McCullers into that conversation because he's got an elbow, and they're going to be very, very careful with a 24-year-old starter. But they also expect McCullers to be back at some point in September and into August. So
Davis still playing with the Orioles. Is he still available?
Chris Davis?
Chris Davis is one of those guys.
Horrible.
Yeah, he's a home run. He's a feast or famine guy.
It's home run guy. That's it?
No, that's it.
The Astros just need their everyday lineup back 1-9 and go from there. But as soon as they can get that back. But, yeah, they don't discount the Oakland A's. The Oakland A's made moves before the deadline. They went all in. They've been the hottest team in the American League outside of Boston for the last 2.5 months. And they are a real threat in the American League West, no doubt about it. I think Seattle will fade. I really do. And they're getting Robinson Cano back from his suspension from the PED situation. But, no, it's a much different scenario for Houston based on the quality of their division than a year ago. But, again, overall, I think when they're fully healthy, they're still they're a better overall team than they were a year ago. I think their starting pitching's better. I think their lineup is still among the best when they're fully healthy, and their bullpen has been bolstered and solidified.
As long as you feel like these are injuries that when they get healthy, they'll all be there at the same time, right, and somebody's not lingering behind for another three, because they can't afford a guy lingering behind now.
Well, now you just got to beat Oakland. I mean, you need Oakland to take losses, and they're not. And when you play Oakland, you've got to beat them at this point. And that's, part of you is it's tension for the Astro fans, but at the same time, it's kind of fun. That you're in a pennant race and you get to battle. Heck, the Red Sox are 10 games clear. They're safe. Indians are clear.
Hey, they're never safe with the Yankees.
I mean, there's races all over the National League. I mean, everything's very tough and tight and close in the National League. Only race in the American League is going to be for the wild card and for American League West at this point. But, yeah, it's only a game. One game. Unbelievable. The Astros were up as many as 6 just a week or so ago.
Wow.
So, all right, we'll talk some baseball. There's a lot of storylines there. We'll dive into this Maryland story where the president and the athletic director admitted full blame and took full responsibility for the death of a 19-year-old offensive lineman. We'll let you hear from Damon Evans. Also, how it pertains to DJ Durkin. We'll talk Longhorn football as well with the debate about Tom Herman. Tom Herman letting John Bonney go play for a team they're going to play this year without any resistance at all. We'll get you details on that. And certainly plenty of drama at the Austin City Council chambers this morning, which will be happening in real time. We'll try to get you details on that. Is Austin, by the end of this morning and by mid-afternoon today, going to be fast-tracked to bring a Major League Soccer team to the capital city? Those are all stories we're following, plus the Horn Top 25, or Top 20, we were Top 25 a year ago. Top 20 countdown, presented by Reliable Automotive. We've got our first Big Ten team, Buck. First of back-to-back Big Ten teams on our countdown to number one. Excited to dive in there as well. So stick with us all morning long. Fire it up on 104.9, 101.9 on the FM dial, AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on the Horn. It is a really, really busy Wednesday, 15 of August, 99 and sunny, but there's a lot out there from the college football landscape. The NFL, I did see the second episode of Hard Knocks last night with Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. Pretty good stuff. Reports today that the Browns will have a tryout with Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant trying out with the Browns today.
Can't hurt him.
Can't hurt him, but no. Jarvis Landry looks good. In last night's episode, a lot of Antonio Callaway, the kid from Florida.
Yeah, and Corey Coleman says, hey, if you're not going to put me in the starting team, then trade me. Okay.
And they did. And the Browns will play Buffalo this weekend, which is an interesting storyline. The Browns will play Corey Coleman in a preseason game.
Then trade me. Okay.
Cowboys about to break camp and Oxnard head home. They'll play Cincinnati this weekend in their second preseason game and then train the rest of the camp at the Star Complex. Texans are already back in Houston. Texans begin split workouts today with the San Francisco 49ers for 3 days.
That's good for both teams.
Yeah, good for both teams. Hit somebody else and get some good work, ones versus ones kind of thing, and then they're going to play on Saturday night in Houston. So there's plenty of NFL to dive into. The baseball stuff, I was looking at some of the Astros splits. The Astros have a team batting average at home of .240. That is unbelievable.
That won't work.
Yeah, they're 24th in team batting average at home. In a way, it's a totally different team. They're number one in baseball with a team batting average of over almost .270. it's really amazing when you watch the Astros this year how much better they are on the road than at home and how much more comfortable the opposing teams look at home versus them. It's really bizarre because they're way better record-wise and in every statistic on
the road.
I think
you need to bring the Hill back.
Maybe. I don't know. They've been a lousy home team this year, mediocre. And then, you know, they've lost 9 straight now. And remember, before, right after the All-Star break, they lost 3 in a row at home to the Rangers. And the really sad part for Astro fans, or disappointing part, or concerning, whichever word you want to use, the teams that are coming in and beating them have been struggling. Now, Colorado beat them last night. Colorado's been playing great. But Seattle, when they came in and swept the Astros for 4, had been lousy for the previous 30 games.
Believe me, I watched 4 of them.
Like, terrible. And then the Rangers came in and swept them in late July, and the Rangers couldn't beat anybody. Couldn't get anybody out. And they came in and shut down the Astros. That offense is just struggling with all the injuries. But it's amazing how different they are away and home. They got to figure that out now, just a game up on the Oakland A's, who are really consistent right now.
All right, so John Bonney has now gone to Texas Tech. And Longhorn fans, get used to guys leaving in the secondary. When you recruit the kind of secondary guys that Coach is getting right now, and this University of Texas team is recruiting these best players in the state of Texas in the secondary, you're going to have guys leave. Everybody can't play.
Right, and everybody
you should understand that part.
Well, the Eric Cuffee thing, he wasn't going to play. I mean, Eric Cuffee really didn't have a role. And the reason being, first and foremost for Texas, is you've brought in these freshmen, but there's also some redshirt freshmen that Tom Herman and the staff have been talking about that are ready to make their way. A guy named Kobe Boyce, who Tom Herman talked about late last year, man, he said he's one of our best players. He could be playing if the new redshirt rule was in place last year. A guy like Kobe Boyce could have been playing last year in their defensive secondary. They've just got numbers at corner. They've got numbers at safety. And look, John Bonney's been a good player for Texas. Not a great player, but a solid guy who could play multiple positions. He's been there.
But he wants to start.
And he's a senior. This is it for him. He's got 1 year, and he's not going to see a lot of when Caden Stearns walks in from Cibolo, and he's already running with the ones at a spot that John Bonney wanted to compete in.
Right.
Because when Deshaun Elliott moves on to the NFL as a junior, you got to think a guy like John Bonney's thinking, okay, that can be my position as a senior, and the freshman's already running one. And that's just about talent, and that's about...
I've watched John Bonney. He's not as good a player as Caden Stearns is coming out of high school.
And that's why I will give Tom Herman a lot of credit for saying, go ahead.
Sure.
Tom Herman could have blocked this. I mean,
but why would he do that? I mean, isn't John Bonney the guy that he wrote the letter to the parents about?
No, that's P.J. Locke.
Okay, well...
But he does have a high opinion of John Bonney.
But yeah, I mean, why would you do that? Why would you block a kid from going to a school, even though it's in your conference? Who cares?
Well, I don't think anyone would have criticized Tom Herman who said, look, John, you've been great. You were on our leadership council. We appreciate what you brought, and we understand the situation. But you can go anywhere but to a team that we're going to play this year. You can go anywhere else. You can go to A&M. You can go. We're not going to stop you.
What if Tech's the only one offering him a scholarship and that kid has a chance, even in his senior year?
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to give credit to Tom Herman, but it would have been well within his right to say, look, anywhere.
By the way, most do.
Anywhere but the 11 teams we're playing this year.
And most coaches do.
Yeah, because he knows their defensive signals. He knows what they do. He knows a lot about how this program operates. And
he's not going to be the deciding factor why Tech would beat University of Texas.
Right. But it would have been, coaches are territorial and privacy-wise. He can take a lot of inside scoop to Cliff Kingsbury, who's already got a pretty good defense, they think, in Texas Tech. Three members of the All-Big 12 first team already on that defense. He'll join that backfield, and he brings a lot of, just to borrow an NFL comparison, one of the strengths of Bill Belichick and the Patriots, they always seem to sign guys who have been released by teams that they're going to play later in the year or soon coming, and they try to get as much info out of them as they can. That's been pretty legendary.
Yeah, I'll still say that John Bonney's not going to make the difference between Tech beating UT. I mean, he's a guy, he's a consistent, decent football player, but he's not going to be the one to do that. I think Coach made a good decision because he's still got to go back into the high schools, and a high school coach is going to go, you know what, Coach, that's pretty classy.
I think it helps you on the recruiting trail.
Sure.
I think, John Bonney graduated. He's done. He did everything he could do for this program. He got his degree in communications last December. He's done. Good for him. I'm just saying Tom Herman would have been within his purview to say, anywhere but a conference team even. Anywhere but someone we're going to play on our schedule this year. But he didn't. He said, best of luck.
And why wouldn't you reward a kid who's got his degree?
That's right.
Coming from the University of Texas.
I'm not criticizing Tom Herman at all. I'm giving him all credit and just saying it would have been within his right to say, nah.
Well, yesterday afternoon, it was like the sky was falling. Why is you letting him go to? I'm like, well, the guy's already graduated. He's a good kid. He's going to graduate from University of Texas. I mean, he deserves to go to where he wants to go. And if you're a head coach, I think that's a smart move as a head coach.
Well, and I think.
Now, if he's your star running back and decides to go, you're going, uh-uh. There's a difference.
I think you should have the same policy. If you do right by the kid, if the kid's not going to play and he's not going to start and get reps as a senior in your program, let him go. That would always be my policy. But we know how coaches are. Hey, let's before we get too late in the break, let's dive into our first glance and glimpse into the Horn Top 20 countdown for this Wednesday.
It's the Horns College Football Top 20, brought to you by Reliable Automotive.
Four-man rush. Moore steps up. High throw, and it's intercepted. Tyree Kittle. He's got a convoy. He's got the end zone. That's a Michigan touchdown.
Number 13, the Michigan Wolverines.
Is this the year?
First of all, I know you like that fight song. Go ahead. You can do it. No, you like that song, don't you?
I will say,
come on,
to be an unbiased someone who grew up in Northeast Ohio, that school up north.
Yeah. Love that song.
I hate that song, but it's a great fight song.
It's good.
It's a great fight song. It's an all-timer. Jim Harbaugh, year four. 8-5 a year ago, but returns 8 on offense, 9 on defense, and one of the non-returning offensive players is his new quarterback, Shea Patterson, who transfers in from Ole Miss, where he will be eligible to play this year. The schedule is difficult. They play at Notre Dame week 1. That's 18 days from today. They have to go to Northwestern, they go to Michigan State, and they go to Columbus on November 24th to wrap up their season. But a lot of optimism and a lot of anticipation that this can be the year that Jim Harbaugh breaks through and takes Michigan to the top of the Big Ten.
I would agree, and I've changed my whole Big Ten thoughts about where I thought they would line up and where they'd be, if it's second or if it's third. I have now, at this time, moved them as the number one team in the Big Ten because of this defense and because Shea Patterson is as good as everybody talks about. They didn't need very much offensively. You know, they're going to return a pretty good running back, Higdon, but...
Yeah, Caron Higdon.
What they need is a quarterback, and if this quarterback is, in all the indications, if he's half as good as they think he's going to be, this defense is ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. The defense is going to be tremendous, and they return 9 defensive starters for what was one of the better defenses in college football a year ago. Yeah, they just didn't have a quarterback. They lacked that guy that could move the chains and put the ball in the end zone with a defense that wasn't giving up many points even a year ago. And they've got great athletes. Jim Harbaugh's been recruiting at a high level. And you're right about Shea Patterson. I mean, he's the guy who was the number one recruit in the nation when he came out and ended up going to Ole Miss, and you know, however much they paid for him to go there. He's now eligible at Michigan. You're high on Michigan. Our experts are high on Michigan. Let's hear from Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com, his overview of the Michigan Wolverines 20-18.
Well, that Big Ten East, I mean, you talk about 4 really good teams, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State. Not a whole lot separate these teams, but I like Michigan. Now, you're looking for maybe a surprise team. This is it. Last year, I mean, they only had 1 returning starter on defense. And what did they do? They still allowed only 18 points per game. They allowed only 271 total yards per game, only 3.5 yards per rush, and had 42 sacks. They've got to find a quarterback, and they found him, I believe, in Shea Patterson. Shea Patterson comes over from Ole Miss. Here's a guy, not a great runner, but he knows how to buy time, and he's a leader. He's never worked with a whole lot of weapons. Quarterback has been their biggest problem the last couple of years. Had just a bunch of journeymen, a lot of guys that really should have been second and third string quarterbacks, and they just have not had great running backs and receivers over the last couple of years. Now, I do think Caron Higdon, I think he's a guy. Last year he had 994 yards. He's due for a breakout season, so he might be that guy. Maybe a redshirt freshman, Tariq Black, he could be a guy, medical redshirt guy last year, started 3 games and then got hurt. People won't remember him much, but he could be a prime-time player for him. But if some of these skill position players step up for Michigan, look out. They are my surprise team out of the Big Ten. Don't be shocked if they make it to the Final 4.
Yeah, I've moved them ahead of Ohio State. I have Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State. Sorry, Penn State, but I put you fourth in the Big Ten. Tariq Black was a player last year at wide receiver. They got hurt halfway through the season with a foot injury. That guy's fantastic. And
6'3" and over 200 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Pounds,
and big so player they'll have him back. Their offensive line, their left tackle is a monster. Grant Nelson, Newsom, 6'7", 214. He's a big kid that will protect the backside of Shea Patterson. But this is a physical group on defense. And Pep Hamilton now is their offensive coordinator.
Who was with Jim Harbaugh at Stanford.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting to have Pep calling the plays. And Don Brown's been a great DC. He's one of the great DCs in the country. So this group has probably five guys, on their defense. They're NFL type of players. I mean, in the first four rounds.
8-5 a year ago, and Michigan fans were disappointed, I guess rightfully. But as Lee alluded to, they lost 13 players to the NFL draft the year previous.
Mm-hmm.
They lost their whole defense. Yet they still restocked it and played at a high level defensively and were okay offensively, just didn't have quarterback play or those big chunk plays that you have to create in college football today. You're high on him. Lee is high on him. What about John Harris? Jay Harris Football on Twitter and puts out that John Harris draft guide. We asked John about the NFL talent on this Michigan squad.
Well, if the Michigan Wolverines are going to make a play for the college football playoff, this is the year. They're strong at running back with two NFL talents, Chris Evans and Caron Higdon. They've got two tremendous tight ends. They've got two young wide receivers, Tariq Black and Donovan Peoples-Jones, that are sophomores that can be top two-round NFL talent. Offensive line, they've got three or four guys coming back. Defensively, they might have the best defensive player in the country, Rashawn Gary. Chase Winovich is an NFL draftable player on the other side. And Devin Bush Jr., an inside linebacker, is kind of a poor man's Roquan Smith. Lavert Hill at DB, I think he's got a future, maybe in the first or second round. Long, can run, can cover in man and do everything. And on top of that, they've got now a quarterback. And that's what has held Michigan back the last couple of years. They've got Shea Patterson. I think Michigan, if there's going to be a surprise team that pops out of that top 15 to maybe get in playoff contention, it's Michigan. The problem is that schedule. That schedule is rough. They go to Ohio State, they got Wisconsin on the schedule, and they go to Michigan State. That could be the only thing that trips up Michigan, because the NFL talent and the big-time young talent is there, and now quarterback's there. Keep an eye on Michigan being a surprise getting that college football playoff.
You know, they don't falter towards the end of the year with that defense. That defense stays solid throughout the football season for them, and that's been what's happened for Coach Harbaugh the last couple of years. They're still there at the end of the season. Offensively is where they really struggle. They struggle in the scoring zone. That's because they haven't had a quarterback that can move around and get things done and find the open guy. They seem to throw the bad interception at the wrong time in the scoring zone. If you look at that running back position, Michigan hasn't had a sensational running back in years, it seems like. But if Higdon can do something really special, he had 900 yards last year. If he's a 1,400-yard rusher this year, that may be a big part of it, too.
Well, everybody high on Michigan. We'll talk next hour to Howard Griffith of the Big Ten Network. He's been to all the training camps throughout the Big Ten. We'll also talk to Howard, your former running back at Illinois, who does a great job on Big Ten Network, about all the issues in the Big Ten. Think about it, with Ohio State, Michigan State last year with the Larry Nassar situation, Maryland right now in turmoil. We know Penn State years ago. This thing is all over the Big Ten. But we'll dive into his thoughts on the conference and where Michigan stands in it. It does feel like this is a year Jim Harbaugh can make a run, but they're going to have to earn it. The schedule is, as John Harris said, very, very difficult. They go to Notre Dame to start the year. They go to Michigan State. They go to Columbus. And they host Wisconsin, who's everybody's favorite on the other side of the Big Ten. So our first look at Michigan, we'll do it throughout the morning with insiders and Howard Griffith of the Big Ten Network next hour at 7:30. Also come back and reset all your top stories, including the high drama today at the Austin City Council Chambers. Is Austin about to become a major league sports city? We should know by dinner time today. We'll get you details next on B&E.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
Coming up in our Coach's Corner next hour, we'll hear more from Damon Evans, the athletic director at Maryland, explaining why they parted ways with their strength and conditioning coach and why the university is taking full responsibility for the death of 19-year-old offensive lineman Jordan McNair this past summer. Taking all and full responsibility. No passing the buck there, no doubt about that. Also here from Sam Ellinger, the Longhorns' assumed starting quarterback. He was available after practice yesterday, talking about his confidence going into year two and where the offense has grown. We'll hear from Sam coming up. A lot to do. Also talking about the Horns' top 20 countdown. It is number 13, Michigan. We'll talk about Shea Patterson, Jim Harbaugh, and the Wolverines throughout the morning on a 99-degree day in Austin, Texas. Also, as we mentioned in the headlines, we'll reset this coming up, but big vote today, Buck. at the Austin City Council Chambers. Before we get into that, let me remind you, the Cedar Park Rodeo. Bud Light, our great friends at Bud Light, you know, brewed right here deep in the heart, all kinds of fun. Cedar Park, they bring you the Cedar Park Rodeo at HEB Center at Cedar Park this weekend, August 17th and 18th. They've got two evenings of pro rodeo. Includes bareback riding, saddle bronc, the bull riding, calf roping, steer wrestling, all of it, everything you want. All the info at our website at hornfm.com. Go out there, have a couple ice cold Bud Lights, and have a great weekend. That'll be part of the fun this weekend in Austin, Texas. Cedar Park Rodeo at HEB Center.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Yeah, you can't say that.
No, I can't say that. Yesterday it was Dreamsicle.
National
Dreamsicle.
Creamsicle Day.
Guess what I had yesterday?
A creamsicle?
I went, and I think Sunkist has an orange soda that's really orangey.
Yeah, Sunkist soda pop.
I put that with a Bluebell vanilla ice cream together.
This was on the advice of our producer, Dylan Fry, right?
Dylan, it was absolutely...
The best thing you've ever had, right?
It was so good and so cold, you know what I mean, with that vanilla and that soda in there. And the taste was ridiculous. That was...
Is that before or after yoga?
That was before yoga.
Okay.
That was midday. Once I left here, I said I wanted to see what this is. Because I'm not a float person. I don't like soda with my ice cream. That float was so delicious yesterday. I got to back away because that's going to make...
You want another one.
That's going to be my new... Butter pecan is my favorite ice cream.
Yeah.
And with, you know, if I get it at Amy's, I'll get vanilla and add pecans to it. Vanilla, a Mexican vanilla. I don't know why they call it Mexican vanilla. Why can't it be Irish vanilla?
We already had that discussion. That
they have
wanted the
Negro
name.
Vanilla. I mean, why does it have to be Mexican vanilla? I didn't get it. Maybe the cocoa beans are from someplace in Mexico. But
you realize Mexican and Negro are different.
Are they?
You know, one is a race of people.
And one is a race of people.
Negro?
A Negro is a race of people.
It's a little ambiguous, isn't it?
Not really.
Mexican is black. Mexican defines people from Mexico.
Okay.
Negro defines people from...
Washington, D.C.
Everywhere.
Houston. Okay, what?
I'm just saying.
Atlanta.
Like Mexican, Irish, Californian.
But I'm close.
So, I'm just saying they're different.
Okay.
They're not in the same descriptive.
But that is now my new favorite ice cream. And that is that was absolutely delicious.
Way to go with Dylan. That's a way.
Hey, Dylan.
National Creamsicle Day was yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll get to what the national day it is today coming up on our Hot or Not at the end of next hour. We'll dive in there. And we will be following. I know there's mixed reviews on how big of a news story this is, but I know a lot of people in Austin are going to be watching closely today the goings-on at the Austin City Council Chambers because we had Kevin Lytle from the Austin American Statesman on with us yesterday to preview today's big vote. And he's now predicting, and he said it on our show yesterday in the 9 o'clock hour, that he thinks it's going to be 6-5 either way. 11 votes. The mayor is in full support of the Precourt Sports Ventures move of the Columbus Crew to Austin and building the new $200 million stadium at the McCalla Place site in North Austin. But it's very, very close right now. And this was the news that broke after we talked to Kevin yesterday, that the Austin City Councilwoman, who represents the district in which the McCalla Place site is on.
How much does she need?
District 7, Leslie Poole. She was actually flying back yesterday from Columbus because she was there hanging out with the Save the Crew group, the movement trying to keep the team in Columbus.
What are you doing there?
She said she wanted to see with her own eyes what they've got and their deal that they've got on the table and doesn't know that. Now, she's arguing that she's serving her district by doing this, but she doesn't serve that district in Columbus.
Serving your district by taking that hundy that I have in my pocket.
Yeah, well, that's an allegation. She says she was just doing due diligence and wanted to see what they were doing and hear from their fans. And she has been leading the opposition against this. And again, it's her district. I mean, that's the one thing I would say, that if you know, it's a 10 person council, and each one of them represents a different part of this city in Central Texas and Austin. The mayor is the 11th vote on this, and he's in full support, so he could be the swing. If it's 5-5 and Matt Adler goes swing, it's going to go 6, and this will move forward. But we'll see. It's 50-50 shot for both folks, and this is going to happen this morning. And we asked Kevin Lytle yesterday, how long should it last? He said he doesn't think the mayor wants it to go much past lunchtime. He just wants an up-and-down vote on this. But there are still members of the city council saying, wait, we need more information. Why do we need
God, what more information do you guys need? Seriously.
We'll see. We'll see. You know, Austin, to this
trying
point,
to take them to the cleaners as it is. And they're willing to go a long way. But you need more?
You need more. Well, they again, and that becomes the debate. Those who are for it are being accused of just kind of ramrodding this thing through without all the information. Those who are against it are saying we need more information, but they're being accused of kind of being in the pocket of other people who, you know, don't want this, and, you know, developers and or, you know, the group out of COTA that's bringing the USL team, the United Soccer League team, which is minor league soccer, to Circuit of the Americas, that they're pushing and providing resistance and pushing this thing to block it, because they know that if the Columbus Crew end up in Austin, that they'll never get him. Because, you know, we've known Bobby Epstein a long time. He was the spearhead behind, tip of the spear to building Circuit of the Americas and bringing the F1 race and all that comes on out there. He wants to put a, or no, he doesn't want to. They are.
That dude was more than a tip. He was the deal.
Yeah, and they are putting the United Soccer League team out there to play coming right up in 2019. But the idea of that is kind of a grassroots effort to grow soccer in Austin. You go from USL to MSL, MLS at some point, and not this way. And that's the debate that's going on at the Austin City Council chambers this morning, and we'll follow it as it happens and get live updates and provide them for you throughout the morning. In addition to counting down the top 20 teams in college football with Michigan at number 13, we'll dive into our coaches' corner coming up next hour. The Astros swoon continues, and they're only a game up on Oakland. We'll get you details there. And a pretty major development at Maryland yesterday. All that coming up as we move forward into the 7 o'clock hour. It's B&E on the Horn. Busy Wednesday. Glad you're with us.